All right, I'm gonna call the meeting to order and ask for approval of the March 12th minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All right, there we go. Now we'll open it up to public comment on any items not on the agenda. Anyone? All right. All right, number four, trail names and signs for Highway 1 and Highway 6 trails.
We have Sarah Walls here from our Metropolitan Planning Organization. She offices in City Hall and is out on these trails probably more than anyone I know. And she's going to talk with you about some things happening.
Yeah, thank you, Julie. So you may know or may not, I'm not sure, that the segment of the Highway 6 trail between Broadway and Fair Meadows, that will be constructed next year, 2026. They're designing it this year. And then in 2028, the segment of, you'll be able to take the trail across the bridge. And I provided you kind of a drawing of how that will work. This winter, we applied for a statewide TAP grant and got just shy of $700,000 for the construction of that trail. That's being timed with a reconstruction of the Highway 6 bridge. Right now, if you've been down there, you will see people on bike and on foot crossing the bridge. There's a little passageway. It's not ADA accessible. It's not considered appropriate for that, but people do use it. And we did a count last fall to find out how many people were crossing, and between 120 and 160 people a day were crossing the bridge. On either side of the bridge, there are no facilities for them. So in the wintertime, if you're down there, as I used to be quite frequently at night, you will see people walking in the road, you know, as the snow comes in. It's not a safe place, and yet people need to cross because that is our main commercial corridor. And I would say, but this will be a big deal because now those two trails, the Highway 1 trail and the Highway 6 trail, will be connected. And we're really excited about that because that's an easy way for people to cross across the city from east to west. And just so that you know, that I provided that little drawing. This was something we had submitted with our grant. In the near future, with that trail, it'll just be on the south side that will have the side path facilities. There will be PED facilities on the bridge itself, both on the north and south side. We plan to get in the future a trail segment along that north side, but there's some property acquisition and more things that have to go on with the intersection that we can't do it immediately. But that is in the long-term plan to get that. But for the time being, you will be able to get across on the south side. So in the trails are sort of this odd thing because, for example, this trail is within the highway right-of-way. And so it's a transportation thing, but it's also managed by Parks and Rec. So it creates this kind of like weird gap of like who's responsible and who does what. And but we'd like to see more of the trails signed so that people know what the trail is. They know it's part of a larger system. When the Willow Creek Trail was resurfaced, the part that is south of Benton Street, there were some old trail identification signs that were done, I don't even know how long ago, many of them were very faded, but we picked up on this sheet, you can see there was an old design, and we picked that up and kind of recolored it, redesigned it, and those signs were installed at least on the area south of Benton Street, and then there were some new signs installed along Mormon Trek and the area near the shopping center. Can't think of the street that's on, to the north, to the northwest. But I was just talking with Tyler, we have those additional signs when that rest of the trail is resurfaced, and we have an opportunity to do that. I also worked with Tyler. You're doing some work along the Sycamore Greenway Trail this year, and so we had provided a sign, and Tyler liked that and wanted to use it, so that hopefully will go forward this year. And so we were thinking it would be a nice opportunity to as the trail is completed, the Highway 1 and 6 trail, to have signs for that. And Highway 1 and Highway 6 trail, I mean, even though that is what they are along the Highway 1 and Highway 6, we thought it would be nice to have another name to go along with that. So for the trail on the west, to call it the Sunset Trail, you know, it goes out by Sunset Street. And on the east side of the river, have it be the Sunrise Trail. On the far east end of town is Sunrise Village. So there is some sort of acknowledgement that that's where the sun rises and sunsets. I'm just bringing this forward because we have a lot of time to plan for this. That won't be completed. The reconstruction of the bridge, I think, is scheduled for 2028. But that will be a huge improvement. It will be a huge deal to have that trail, that whole trail, completed from east to west.
So Sarah, are you asking for their feedback on those?
Yeah, you thought, you had thought it would be a good idea.
The trail and the Sunrise Trail names and your thoughts on that or any of the other trail signage questions you might have. You're in charge.
Okay. Good. Any questions for Sarah?
I have
Brian does.
Sure.
Just one, and maybe more of a idea, but as far as signage on some of these trails, especially the ones that connect to other parts, is like maps as part of the signage. I think that I was just over in Coralville the other day and some of the single track, and it was just they have maps kind of showing you where you are, where you can get to, sort of. And it's just really helpful to, like, you know, just see what the options are and like wayfinding with the trails. And I just wonder,
so can I ask where you saw that map sign? Do you remember where you saw it?
It was over like the new single Woodpecker trails.
Okay. Yeah, we could take a look at that. The question is always funding, but I think it's something that if people are interested in, we can help with. Some there were some map signs put out along some of the trails, I'm gonna say around 2004, 2005, those probably need to be updated. I don't know how many of them are still out there, but I could check quickly and find out, because I know we have those in a GIS database. But now that, I think especially now that our trail network is nearly complete, when those were put out, there were still a lot of segments left to be built. I'm thinking there's one out on the Clear Creek Trail around James Street, kind of an old white one. And I know there's one on the North Ridge Trail, maybe near Forever Green Road, that really need to be replaced. But if that's something that y'all are interested in, I mean, we could work on that.
Yeah, maybe, like, I don't know how many would be ideal, but just think about some of the, like, hot spots of where
I think
like City Park,
Willow Creek Park, City Park, those would be good places because you have the space to do it. Yeah, and if that's something you're interested in, you know, we can do that.
Okay, anyone else have a comment?
Thank you.
Sure.
I really like the consistency in design between like the Sycamore Greenway Trail and the Highway 1 and Highway 6. I like the keeping it uniform in design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the signs are pretty, and that's exciting to have the trail across that bridge, because I have driven past there and got, oh, that person's kind of close to the road.
Yeah.
You know? Or even if you had, let's say you were in a wheelchair, there's just no way
right
across that.
Right. Yeah, and then your only alternative is Benton or McAllister, and that's a long way to go out of your way.
That's a long way.
And a lot of people are crossing because, you know, we have Walmart over there, mm-hmm. and there's just a lot of employment opportunities over there. And we see a lot of people that are clearly going to and from work or to and from shopping, mm-hmm. crossing through that area. So
absolutely. It's much needed. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. So let's move on to the report on items from staff.
All right. I will start out. We did have one piece of correspondence that I believe you received by email yesterday. I have paper copies if you needed those. We hadn't had some correspondence for a couple months, so we did get that. Related to that, please realize we have not changed the indoor pool hours. The letter kind of infers that maybe we have. We have not since we reopened from COVID. So we have that. City Park pool. Woohoo! Yay. The bids came in, they came in well, and we are moving forward with city construction as the contractor. We have our pre-construction meeting set up for next Tuesday to really kick off the project, so that's exciting. The first question I'm hearing from everyone is, can we spend more of the money? I have to tell you, there really is no extra money. We had an estimate that it could be as high as $18 million. It came in closer to $14 million, but realize we still have the design and consultant fees on top of that and all of our equipment and everything else. So it's still going to be end up being closer to that $18 million estimate that we had out front. The one thing that we may be able to do is we've talked about adding in a few more shade structures. I think there's six in the design right now, and if you remember, that was really high on a lot of people's wish list for the pool. So I think we'll be able to add in a few more in the leisure pool area. We were able to accept all of the alternates on the project. So I want to make sure I go over those as well. That includes heaters for all three pools, and they're separate heaters for each of the three pools. Doesn't mean that we're going to operate and turn them on at any one particular time. If you remember, the lap swimmers had concerns that the water would be too warm. So we'll be able to heat or not heat depending on operations throughout. We were able to add in the UV disinfectant system, which is an additional disinfectant system. It's not currently required by state of Iowa, but it is required by a lot of other states around us. So it felt like that was a good investment in keeping the water even cleaner and clearer. For the diving well area, we'll be able to add both the climbing wall and the third diving board right from the get-go. So we'll have both of those in the diving wall. Includes the water main and the storm sewer, which we knew those would happen anyway, but that connects it with new service to Park Road. We will be able to have the contractor do the work to remove the existing restroom in Upper City Park. That was an alternate, thinking if it came in too high, we could have our own staff, but the price for doing that is very reasonable and probably much less than what it would cost us. And then two areas of landscape seating, limestone elevated landscape seating and landscape areas, both the outside the front of the pool and within the pool, and then all of the shade structures. So very happy that we're going to get to move forward with all of those. That officially means that City Park Pool will not be open this summer. We put out a press release about that. Big sigh of relief from a lot of people because we were worried if we had to open, we were going to have to find a lot of lifeguards and do a lot of scrambling. So I think that's good, and we're excited to move forward. Any questions on City Park Pool before I hit my other things?
Maybe this is too far out, but what would be the determinant of using the heater?
Yeah, so I think that'll be closer, like, probably late next winter we'll start talking about policies and hours and all of those things. Yeah, and I don't see us, honestly, at this point, I see us using it definitely for the leisure pool, for the smaller kids area, and for especially for use during swimming lessons. Possibly for the diving well early on in the season, just because if we're going to have aqua fitness and other things happening, not just diving. But the lap swim pool, I'm not sure at this point, based on the public comment input that we received. So I guess more discussions to come. Yeah. Good question.
Okay. If you turn on a heater for like the lap swim pool, how long does it take to raise it, say, like 2 degrees?
I don't know. It depends on so many things. It depends on the outdoor air temperature. Yeah. It depends on how cold the water is when you start. It depends on, but it would be possible to say turn it on and heat it to like a minimal level early season, and so it's ready to go right at the beginning of Memorial Day, and then not use it the rest of the summer. There's a lot of options that we'll have now that we know that we'll have those in place. So
sure has variable temperature water, doesn't it, with the swimming meets and not?
Not really, no. We keep that one at about 78, I believe. Keep it cooler. It could be, both pools could be raised or lower. We generally don't. Generally keep that cooler. So we've also had some questions about, now what does this mean now that we've got City Park Pool under under contract, ready to go. What does that mean for both Robert A. Lee and Mercer? And the answer is nothing yet. And we said we would finish City Park Pool before we come back to any discussions about the future of either of these buildings. So we're still on hold at least another year before we have any kind of ongoing conversation about those two, unless a tornado strikes and we have, you know, considerable damage or something. But at this point, it's status quo operations as normal. Yeah.
Yeah, hours be adjusted when City Pool is down for both Mercer and RL or not?
We actually decided not to do that. We think that Mercer has enough space to accommodate the people. If we find that's not the case in June, we can scramble and open up Robert A. Lee a little bit longer. Actually, though, what will probably happen is that Robert A. Lee will be used for some of the youth groups, and we have some groups that want swimming lessons during that afternoon time period. They're coming in like as a summer camp type program. So it will be used, but probably not for open swim. We think that there'll be enough space at Mercer for the open swim needs. So,
will there be any kind of reciprocal with Coralville or North Liberty to use outdoor pools?
There will not be, no. No. So. All right. A couple other things on my list. Next month, May 14th, we are planning on doing the bus tour of parks. So Tyler will be leading you on that. We have a city bus reserved, and we won't tell you. We're going to keep the site secret he already knows, but we're not going to go through those right now. We'll have a box lunch for you that night. You'll get more information a couple weeks out, so you'll have a box lunch. And it'll be a little bit longer meeting because you'll be captivated on this bus going through. I will not actually be at that meeting. I am on April 21st having a knee replacement surgery, so I will be out for, I don't know, a while. And I know you're going to be in a bus. Yeah, no, I will not be there. So Tyler will be the acting director during those few weeks or several weeks that I'm out. So.
What date is that?
The bus tour, May 14th. I think I've got the right May 14th. So you want to mark that. We usually start right at 5, pick up here, right? Yeah.
Pick up and drop off here.
Yeah.
So. Is that going to be like a party bus?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
To number 5.
It is a city bus, and the public is allowed to ride along with us if there's anyone interested. And sometimes we've had city council members join us for the tour. In the past, I, as your host, have had trivia. I don't know if Tyler will continue that trivia with prizes.
It'll probably be
Tyler, you're going to have to come up with something.
So, I think it'll be
Arbor Day jokes.
So, yeah, that's my updates.
How do you make a tree leave or something? Okay. Okay. Is that anything else? Okay. All right. Let's hear from Tyler then.
I made a list here, so I'm not just checking my phone.
Because there's a lot going on right now with the season really kicking off in full swing. So go over a few things that we've done recently and then kind of things that we're doing now. I'll try to hit each part of our division because each part's been doing a lot of stuff, getting ready for spring. So we had some partners with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service come and help us out for a day at Sand Prairie. We did some removal of some trees there from the parts of the prairie where most of that park shouldn't have trees anyway with the significance of the prairie species. So they helped us out. It was a good team building opportunity for them as well. They've been helping us with guidance on how to manage the park as well. And they have a lot of staff all over the place. So they every year pick a place and go do this thing. So we were lucky to benefit from them this year. So it was a good day. We got quite a bit of trees down and chipped up and out of there. So that was a positive. That was a Friday, and then the following Monday, Big Grove, if you haven't seen, they've got their neighborhood beer, and part of that, they're doing giving back to neighborhoods. So they were using a project with us as a way to get word out there, do some social media as well, and they kicked in $600 to the project. So we did some improvements at Riverfront Crossings Park to the playground. So if you haven't been there for a while, check that out. We did it as low budget as we could. We reused a lot of materials. We used some urban lumber. We used some limestone we had from other projects that was left over. And then most of the funding that they provided went to some river rock for the middle, the dry stream as well. And then they came and helped volunteer-wise and helped move that river rock. So they got a workout that day. They also helped us put some of the playground mulch around the area too and freshened up a bunch of the spots that needed it. So that was a fun project to partner with them. Let's see. I'll start with forestry. Trees, lots of trees, planning for fall trees. We've got those ordered now. We did purchasing helped us do a bid process for that. And so we're actually getting trees from four different places. It depended on how they bid on each tree. I think it's four places. It might be five places. So that'll be a good project. Those came in as expected price-wise. And then this spring, we have trees ordered and on their way to plant some at the cemetery again. Plan to plant some at Fair Meadows Park, as well as a couple of the streets around Fair Meadows. And then Normandy Drive neighborhood or Mosquito Flats, some of you may know it as, we plan to plant a lot of trees down there as well with the help of Rotary. And we got a $10,000 state grant for that as well. So that covers all of those trees. And Master Gardeners are going to help us out with that project too. Let's see. We also, if you saw the press release, I think it was today, we were named a Tree City USA again, 45th year, almost as long as the program's been around. I think we missed the first 3 years, but a lot of forward-thinking people throughout the history of the city to put trees first in front of mind, I guess. And along with that, we get a growth award, which basically means we hit all the standards for Tree City USA plus another bar of standards above that. So we applied for that and got that extra level of recognition. Let's see. Natural areas, we've got a big project out for bid proposals right now for Sycamore Greenway, and that is part of a REAP grant that we got last year, so we should be getting those bids back soon. We also have been working quite a bit in Hickory Hill Park. We put a new bridge in off the Bloomington Street entry. Today, the crew got the first of three bridge planking, the decking replaced on the First Avenue loop. So lots of different bridge projects there to make those nice and safe. West Branch High School is going to be volunteering with us on Earth Day. It's their day of caring, and they're going to come out and help us at where are they helping us at? Hunter's Run Park. So they're going to cut some of the invasive species out of the prairie there and maybe help with some sprucing up of the surfacing around the playground and things like that. Let's see, athletic fields, we're in full swing of all of our athletic activities that start in the spring. So staff did a really good job getting the fields looking good this year. The grass is greened up early, so they look really nice there. We've already been mowing for about a week and a half on those because to keep that a nice playing surface. On the general park side, started mowing there as well. Spots are starting to get long. Got all the water onto the restrooms, and those restrooms, if they're not all open yet, they will be this week. But I know a majority of them are open. And onboarding, lots of onboarding. Well, I think we're done hiring, at least as of right now, of seasonal staff. But we have between 50 and 55 seasonal staff every year. So it's a lot of onboarding now through really early part of June when high schools get out. That's when the last kind of a chunk, whether they're teachers during the year and come work with us in the summer, or students working on our athletic fields. So lots of people out there working in the parks again. And then the last thing I got for you is our park improvement projects around. So the playground is currently going in at College Green. They've got grading work done at Calder Park for the new trail that goes in there. The site has been cleared partially and is getting close to ready for the next step at Brooklyn Park. And then they have stuff staged, and I think just the kind of topsoil piled aside out at Adelaide Joy Rogers Park. So all of those are kind of simultaneously moving. And the trail project, I guess, over on the Court Hill Trail between Beach Street and Scott Boulevard. So lots of different projects kind of going all at once. That's a long list. Anyone have any questions on any of that, or any questions on anything I may have missed?
When's the College Green Playground expected to be ready?
Yeah, the playground will be fully installed this week, but they have other components of that project still. So they've got the basketball area to do, and all the kind of edging and other paving that gets you to the playground around there. I would imagine it won't be before at least midsummer. I think the project they have until mid-fall.
Yeah, they have a long time, and we always get excited at the beginning where you see a lot of progress on one part, and then they go work on other things. And so they do have through the summer to finish. So I don't want to get anyone's hopes up that the fences are coming down before that.
Yeah. And at least the fall will still have seeding and kind of work around to get the grass growing and stuff again, if nothing else at that point. Yeah. Good question. Yeah.
Something like there are a lot of grants that we got from Pony Creek.
So yes.
Major source for tree planting in particular? Or
yeah. Yeah, we try to apply for as many as we can. So we've been lucky to receive every time the DNR has done one of their community forestry grant programs since 2020, they started that in at least its current iteration. So we've received a grant every spring and every fall since then, since fall of 2020, I believe. We do have one $30,000 grant that has a federal component to it that is currently on hold. So that is through the state as well, but it's just a pass-through grant. So that has held up our part of our planting around Fair Meadows Park in that neighborhood this year. We're gonna have to hold off because we have to still have the project to do once the funds come in. So that's delayed us a little bit, but I'd say we probably average at least $25,000 in tree grants every year in the last 4 to 5 at least. Yeah,
that's a great way to get the income for that.
Yeah, definitely.
Jeff, will you speak into the microphone, please? Thank you.
I appreciate the creativity in getting the grants in. Julian's mentioned before that a lot of our funding comes from all these different grant sources, and mm-hmm. have experts in each department sort of lead the charge mm-hmm. in those particular grants for that area. Is really powerful. I mean, money, especially yep. this time. Anyway, thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome. All right, anyone else? Okay, thanks. Tyler, appreciate you. Okay, there's no chair's report, so commission time. So Alex, what do you got?
Nothing for me.
No. All right, Jeff, any comments or?
Yes, actually, I went to the Iowa Parks and Recreation Association convention. Coralville last Tuesday, to hear Julie's panel and to hear Latasha Deloach's panel in the afternoon. It was really an awesome experience to both see what was presented, see what the other cities, parks and recreation groups were doing, introduce, you know, find out people, go through the vendors hall on Tuesday, which had a free lunch as well. But it was interesting to see the variety of sources. I really appreciated it a lot. One thing that came up in the presentation, though, was the idea of location, what was it? Location intelligence, using location intelligence.
Sure.
Being used, which tracks cell phone data and other stuff for users. Mm-hmm. And I was just, it kind of set some bells ringing about exactly how that's accomplished. Does Iowa City use that technology anywhere now?
As the city of Iowa City, I don't believe that we use this. He's talking about there are programs and ways out there that generally they can track based on cell phone usage. If you went to an event and they wanted to see where everybody went to eat lunch or eat after, or did they shop, they can track the cell phones that were in the event and then where they went afterwards. And it's called geofencing. And I'm not aware that I know we don't use it in Parks and Recreation. However, I think Iowa City, our Convention and Visitor Bureau, uses it quite often. If you go to an event at the XL Center over in Coralville, they track pretty closely where event participants, where are they going to Coral Ridge Mall and spending money? It's a newer emerging technology, but it's quite interesting.
Just the whole idea of privacy with the cell phone tracking and the opting in or opting out was kind of trying to figure out how they allow that or how that worked with that.
Yeah.
Mostly this comes from data brokers that provide the services like that.
Yeah, I don't really know much more about it other than that.
It kind of touched my thing. But the conventions, when they're close and local, I highly recommend going to. They were really very, very informative. Good. And I thank you for doing the panel. That was great. Thanks. To see one there and the architect. Anyway, that's all I have.
Thank you. Michael? Okay, Virginia?
No. I would like to congratulate our award-winning Parks and Rec Department, not only Tyler, but Julie as well, for your major award.
So I was named I received IPRA's highest professional award at the conference as well. And it's named after Terry Trueblood, who was formerly the Parks and Rec director here and a colleague of mine for the good first half of my career. So it's pretty special to me to get an award named after him, but then this is an awesome place to work. So thank you all, and thanks to my staff there. It's been good. So thank you.
Very nice. Ryan, anything?
I was going to say the same thing. Oh. Congratulations. One question I had, see a lot more like scooters around, including on sidewalks and trails. Just curious, if there's any kind of rules or is that something under consideration? Because some of those go pretty fast and like kind of different speeds.
I don't have a lot of information on that. We can find out more. Sarah, who was here, probably knows more about it than I do. Motorized things are allowed on our trails due to accessibility requests, but as we know, there's a lot of things out there that are probably not being used because of accessibility. We can look into it if you'd like and get more information. I don't have anything on that tonight, though.
Okay, yeah. I was just curious.
Yeah,
interesting point. Thanks, Julie. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Awesome. And I don't have anything else, and so I would ask if you want to adjourn the meeting, someone bring that forward.
So moved.
Okay, Alex.
Second.
Michael, second. Excellent. Thanks a lot.